Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell and today I'm joined by Adam the Blumpier Blump. I was trying to come up with a nickname on the fly and I didn't. I just said your name several times.
Yeah, you used my surname. It's as my middle name. Thanks, yeah. Pete. Hi, yeah, everyone.
I tried. I'm not with it today. I think we were both just saying just before we went on air, we both did not get good night's sleep yesterday. So prepare for a tired podcast today. It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a bit of whinging.
First, let's talk about NXT, where we're going to be talking about what presumably is Matt Riddle's final match. What an epic send-off it was for him before his journey to the main roster. Here's the show. What is reportedly Matt Riddle's possible final match in NXT because he's supposedly going up to the main roster very soon. And this was in the pit fight. I've forgotten what it is already. It's one of those two. It was a cage fight last week and then they changed it. Fit pite. God, this is a good intro, isn't it?
It's a cage fight, Pete.
It's a cage fight, but they kept calling it the fight pit.
The fight, well. Yeah, NXT's fighting pit. It's basically just a big lion's den. They did what we said they'd do.
Yeah, yay. Lion's den. We were right. Yeah, I thought it was a really cool cage in and of itself. It had no ropes on the outside, which made it feel very, very different from a normal ring. And they just had the cage as it was, and then like a platform all around the ring at the top, which I really, really enjoyed. I thought it made it look very unique, very different, and its own kind of unique match stipulation. It came out. It was an awesome, awesome match. I really, really loved this match between Thatcher and Riddle, and built off what I thought was a pretty good story. And I think they told a really good story throughout this match in and of itself as well. Starting off with them just trying to like take each other down as it was, eventually started getting into the more kind of flashy side of it, you know, springboarding off the cage to hit kicks and going up to the top platform and doing sentons and things like that. And even things like getting in like a knee bar with Riddle kind of hanging off the edge of the platform at the top with Thatcher getting in that knee bar, I thought was, a brilliant spot. There was a really interesting spot at the start of this match, which I think we want to talk about first, which was just before the first ad break. Matt Riddle kind of came off the side of the cage, hit a kick onto Thatcher, and then as he was down, did like a PK to his face, essentially. The cameras then cut away, and we see Thatcher pouring blood from his mouth. We see him scrambling on the mat and picking up, supposedly, his teeth from the floor. And the commentator's like, oh my God, that's his teeth. And he goes over to a doctor that's outside the cage and they're checking his mouth and shining a light so you can see all the blood in his mouth, which was a great visual. I love that. And then they're like, can you still fight? And he goes, yes. And then it cuts to an ad break. And then when they come back, they're wrestling. you have some thoughts about this spot, don't you, Adam?
Yeah, it looked really fake. I thought it was a fun angle. I thought it made the match seem bigger, which in turn made Matt Riddle seem bigger because the fact that it's his big send-off wasn't real, I don't think, not at all, which made me wonder where they got the teeth from, whether or not they just, you know, they're at the performance center, someone takes a tumble and it's like, oh, we'll need those.
It's Cesaro's from that time ago. They've just kept it.
Do you have my teeth? No. There's a little Simpsons reference for you, Pete. So I think this has been done primarily because, bless their cotton socks, WWE have always been keen on cosmetic enhancements for their wrestlers. It's mostly been the ladies, of course, with certain cosmetic enhancements you can get. But I think it'd be just like, hey, Thatcher, welcome to the roster. When are you going to sort your teeth out? Because he's an amazing wrestler. We know this, but he's got easily the worst mouth of teeth in the entire roster. So I'm assuming this was done just so they could write him off TV for a little bit and get him to have some, like, some work done. I don't really believe for a second that actual teeth flew out of his mouth. Happy to be proven wrong. But no, the way that they set it up with the PK, with his back very clearly to the camera, the fact there was a cutaway, the fact that, yeah, so it just seemed like, did Kurt Angle just have a load of teeth in his pocket, just ready to give to Thatcher? Wrestling's all smoke and mirrors anyway, and I understand why they do it. I do think Thatcher's teeth are a little distracting. I say that as a man with perfect teeth myself.
Of course. Ding, and your, et cetera.
Ding indeed. Your teeth are also excellent, Pete.
They're fine. They look okay on the webcam. If you see them in person, they're not that good. I think that's quite interesting, but I think it might be a different way. I think it might be a reason for them to justify why Thatcher has teeth missing. I think they might keep his mouth as it is, but they can say, oh, you see that gap in his teeth? That's from Matt Riddle, that, even though he clearly had that gap beforehand. I think they're probably just going to say, nope, that was Matt Riddle, that. He did that. Look at that. Look at those horrible teeth. And they can build that into his heel persona and heel. Have that as like a, you know, like a mark of the trials that he's been through. Personally, I quite like the teeth missing. I think it really lends itself to Thatcher's character. I think when he comes down and he's got his mouth open, he's walking down to the ring, like storming down to the ring like he did on his entrance in this match and like taking his jacket off. I think he looks super duper cool. And I'm like, I really don't want to fight that guy because it looks like he's been in about 70 fights already today. So yeah, I'm all on board the Thatcher train at this point. And Thatcher did end up winning this match in what I thought was a cool finish, which was he repeatedly tried to get on the chokehold onto Riddle. Riddle kept trying to throw him off. He managed to get him off one time. He did a senton with another one. But as he did that senton, while he was kind of sitting there after the senton, Thatcher just got up again and just grabbed in the chokehold once again and just dragged him down and didn't let go. And Riddle passed out. I thought it was a great sell from Riddle as well. Just completely like passing out, and then as soon as he gets woken up, he's like, wait, what happened? Like, I'm just completely being unaware of everything that transpired before. I thought it was a really cool sell on Riddle's part. Very curious to see what happens with Riddle if he does go to the main roster now. I thought it was a great send-off, though. If it is his last match, I thought it's a great way for Riddle to go off. And a spot we can see on the screen now, hitting the floating bro, which is still one of the worst move names in history, off the top of the cage onto Thatcher was really cool. I love this match.
Yeah, I liked it too. Don't get me wrong, I'm not an MMA guy. The MMA portion of the match, I understand why they had to have it in there, these guys showing true cred. But for me, like, WWE all the way. So the stuff that when they got onto the scaffolding, I thought that was good. Like the teeth spot, like a bit of story, I thought that was fun too. Kurt Angle, by and large, not really needed, but no. probably drew, you know, some mainstream eyes to the program. So his presence benefited both men, which I thought was the important thing. I will say, is that like five people who have a rear sleeper hold as their finisher in WWE now? Because it's like, there's variations on it, but you got Asuka, Shayna, Samoa Joe, Karrion Kross, Timothy Thatcher. Just like, they're so... I'm probably missing some, and I'm sure they're all different in like a tiny way. Like one puts your arm like that, and one does it in there, but the other one does it in there. I know, but like they all look the same. I just think that's interesting how,
yeah,
like, suddenly there's this huge resurgence of the sleeper hold. That was because that's what, that was a big finish of a match recently, wasn't it? Someone else was put to sleep.
It was John Moxley, Brody Lee.
There you go.
Well, I didn't even think this came across as that was Thatcher's finisher necessarily, because he's been putting over the Kirifuda clutch, the Fujiwara armbar. He's been doing that in previous weeks. I'm still thinking that that's his finisher, but this was just a way to beat Riddle. I think it was kind of like a move that he did. I don't think it's necessarily going to be his finisher. At least I don't want it to be his finisher, just because I think the armbar, really, it's still an armbar. Several other people have armbars as finishers, but I think his version of it looks so brutal and so good that I think it really sets him apart from others. So I really hope he does keep the armbar. What do you think about having this match type as like Thatcher's gimmick match, as his thing that he can do for big matches at some point down the line with other feuds that he enters as his own gimmick match to set him apart from everyone else in NXT?
Yeah, I like it. I like the idea of people having their signature match. I love the idea of Undertaker's thing being Boneyard going forward. I love, obviously, Firefly Funhouse. I think it's like it's not the Ambrose Asylum. So I do think there's legs on it. Also, like it's a sort of thing that you can bring out slightly more regularly, because it is just it's just a big MMA fight. And then, you know, I think we're going to see an increase of like hybrid MMA style athletes coming into WWE rather than a decrease, especially with Triple H takes over, I think. So I think having this sort of thing in their back pocket, also, it's another toy you can sell, isn't it? So I definitely think they're going to keep it around. But speaking of someone who uses an armbar as a finisher, hey!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Great segue.
Killer segue.
Yeah, let's talk about the Cruiserweight tournament. The show actually kicked off with this triple threat between Kushida, Jake Atlas, and Drake Maverick, which was the finals of Group A, winner of the match going on to face El Hijo del Fantasma in the finals of the tournament overall. And of course, the story they're telling is Drake Maverick, ultimate underdog, and he managed to sneak out the victory in this one, which I thought was a really cool spot, which was Kushida having the armbar onto Jake Atlas. Maverick crawls over while Kushida's kind of lying back in the armbar. Maverick crawls over and pins Atlas with one hand over him, gets the victory. But at the same time, we see after the fact, Atlas was actually tapping while Maverick got the pin, which the referee didn't see because Maverick was pinning. I thought it was a genius spot. I thought it was really, really inventive. Maverick gets the win. Kushida stays strong. And honestly, you'd think that would make Jake Atlas look weak, but he really didn't. I mean, here's a probably not so hot take. I think Jake Atlas is really, really good. In previous weeks, I thought he'd been good. You know, I thought he'd been pretty good. But I mean, everyone in NXT is good. Pretty much everyone in NXT is pretty good. In this match, I thought he looked amazing. I thought he looked really, really good. Some of the spots he did were really cool. His timing was spot on. I was really impressed with Jake Atlas in this match in particular. And yeah, Kushida stayed strong. Drake Maverick, he ekes out the win. And then in a backstage promo afterwards as well, Drake Maverick was saying, look, I want to do the honorable thing. If we need to do another match with Kushida, that's fine. Whatever happens. But then Kushida comes in and says, no, you won. You go ahead and you do that match and you win that. And then he says, you know, when I win, Kushida, you'll get the first shot.
Pure babyface. For me, this was my match of the night. Like I loved this just because for all of the ickiness aside, I'm just super invested in Drake Maverick as a character because he is a kind of fairly rare kind of face in WWE, as in, and it seems to be the only kind of people who can be this kind of faces are the underdogs. Like Daniel Bryan is the only other person I can think of who is this earnest, just decent human being. Like Drake Maverick's just humble. He's just like, I want to do the right thing. He's not like John Cena being just like, and I'm going to punk you out, Jack, to reach the top of the mountain because I got business to set, you know, to take care of, you know, that kind of shtick. He's just like, well, look, I understand the situation we're in. I'm happy to have a one-on-one match with Kushida. And Kushida comes along, gifts him, essentially. So Kushida loses nothing. Kushida gifts him essentially the title shot. And then Maverick says, okay, you get the first shot after that. And it's just like, oh, what decent guy. I'm rooting for you because you seem really nice.
Exactly.
It's an unusual feeling for WWE.
Yeah, it's so rare that you get this kind of organic babyface reaction to someone who's just organically a babyface. It was what they had with Johnny Gargano before they turned him heel. He was just a guy who seemed quite humble. He was the underdog and he just wanted to do his best and try and get those wins. And now he's heel. Boo hiss. I thought it was great. I'm like you said, I'm really invested in the Drake Maverick story. I'm slightly concerned, though, that story is going to end with Phantasma turning heel and Drake Maverick's going to go and it's going to be sad times because we've got so invested in this story.
I'm staying optimistic
for now. Come on, Drake Maverick.
So I think the evil kidnapping thing is going to feature in this final. I think that's definitely going to be the case. And it's a case of who's turning heel. El Hijo seems the obvious choice, which makes me actually worried that it's going to be Drake. I don't think so, because that doesn't make any sense, because they haven't gotten involved in like any of Drake's matches. It's the corniest kind of swerve, one that makes no sense, like in
swerve
the build-up
for the sake
at all.
Of the swerve.
Yeah, because it makes sense with El Hijo del Fantasma. They do a couple of red herrings, beat up Akira Tozawa whilst El Hijo is, you know, Fantasma can't get to him because he's locked in his car. He's come from Lucha Underground where this happens. He's learnt the trade.
We
shall see. I just want to point out because got a couple of photos from WWE, like this spot. Oh. The Akana roll into a German suplex. Like, Kushida's a beast, man. Like, it's only a matter of time before something huge happens for him. What a match. Loved it. Can't wait for the final.
Yeah, it was so fast-paced as well. They barely stopped the whole time. It was just spot, 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 spot. That's the great thing about having a triple threat like this, is one person can be having a breather while the other two do some mental spots, and then another person comes in and they can just keep going and rotate out. It was a great match. Really, really enjoyed it. But something else, speaking of Johnny Gargano beforehand about baby faces and all that stuff, he's a big old heel now.
Yeah,
so heel, in fact, he's changed his theme music. Goodness me. And it is heel theme music. It is, you know, kind of a slow metal theme song. And I will say, I thought it was good. I don't think it's as good as his Rebel Heart theme song, because that's great. When he turns babyface again and he goes back to Rebel Heart, that pop is going to be great. The first time someone hears the Rebel Heart theme song come back on, people are going to be like, good, Johnny, he's back. Except
I like both of them having the same theme. I think that's smart, like him and Candace both, like, because they really are pushing them as a tag team. Seems to be, we were talking about the In Your House, obviously the special that's coming up very, very shortly, a week on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We thought it could be a mixed tag. It seems to be not the case, because Candace is going to be going up against Mia next week, and then we're going to have Keith Lee versus Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship on TakeOver. Oh, yes, please. Unfortunately, we did have to get to that via this, which, yeah. Oh no.
Yeah, it was bad, wasn't it?
Like, so, actual bad.
Yeah.
Actual, like, bad comedy from NXT.
Like, Gargano and LeRae came out, cut a promo saying they're great and all that jazz. And Johnny beat, who was it? I think I've got it written down. Oh, they were saying that they want to give opportunities to young people. And, you know, he's still thinking that he's the baby face. He's like, we just want to give opportunities to people that deserve it. So he brings out Adrian Alanis.
Yeah.
Who, you know, and he beats him in like 30 seconds, because of course he does. He goes for a handshake and then, you know, jukes him out and punches him and beats him with the Gargano escape. What I will say quickly, just before we move on to Mia Yim and Keith Lee, is I feel like Johnny, as this new heel character, could do with a new finisher, or at least a different variation of the Gargano escape. I think just because it's so intrinsically linked to happy memories with people, because he did that, you know, with the crutch on Tommaso Ciampa at TakeOver New Orleans, and it's what him and Ciampa were using against the Revival when they won the tag titles. Like, the Gargano escape just has so many happy memories associated with it. I think he needs to change it up when he's a heel into something that looks a bit more like brutal. Maybe he can change it up to, you know, make it look stronger in some way. I'm not a wrestler. I don't know off the top of my head, but something that would make it feel a bit more heelish. Cause right now he's just kind of still doing the Gargano escape and nothing's really changed. So personally, I'd like to see him change up to something a little bit different.
Yeah. It's like when Neville turned heel and he stopped doing the Red Arrow and focused more on the Brutalizer. And that was just like, oh yeah, it's a real character shift for him. Whereas, yeah, Johnny's been doing it. I mean, that's the thing, is like, it does look really painful. So like, he's just kind of scowling when he does it now, which makes it heel. I think he needs like a high impact, sneaky, awful, like, impact finisher, like maybe something like a super kick to the back of the head or something like that, like a proper, proper, like a nasty piece of work kind of move. I love Candice LeRae's, I can't remember what it's called. I think it's like the Wicked Stepsister or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, the one where she basically just, murders you by pulling your head back and then just stamping your head into the canvas. Like, I think Johnny needs something like that.
That'd be really, really cool. But then it led into what we alluded to before. Some bad comedy. It was Mia Yim and Keith Lee mocking Gargano and LeRae's promo in their house that they did, and it wasn't very funny, which is really unfortunate. Keith Lee brought some flowers on the table, which were fake, and Mia Yim was like, oh, it's like the Garganos, because they're fake. And then they mocked the effects they used by shining a torch in their face, and then Yim was saying that LeRae's a bitch or something. I don't know. It wasn't a good promo in and of itself as well. And then she was saying that Candice LeRae can't cook, because she can only do takeaway. And then Tegan Nox comes in with a pizza that's almost all eaten. And then she puts it down on the table and says, I ate most of it. And then Keith Lee just goes, there's only one slice left. This isn't good enough. If it sounds bad, that's because it is. It wasn't funny, which is such a shame for especially someone like Keith Lee, who is so naturally charismatic and so naturally funny. He doesn't even have to say something funny to be funny because he's that charismatic. He can just say something in a way that makes it funny. And this just screamed of main roster scripting. This was just like it's a proper main roster segment, this. And it just jarred so much with what NXT does on a week-to-week basis.
I know. So for me, when I talk about Drake Maverick being like a refreshing kind of babyface, this is the kind of babyface shtick that like I expect from WWE, making fun of their opponents with like, and I'm not saying like you can't cut jibes at your opponent. It's just like, oh, Johnny Gargano, I've got his new action figure. It's the only action figure that he makes, which is a one-to-one scale because Johnny's short. And it's like, all right. Like, I want you to fight. Don't practice your tight five. I thought it was a shame. Like you said, it screamed of main roster. And between this and the Newly Bro show, don't want it. Don't want it in my NXT. Stop it. Yeah. No one bats, 100. Keith Lee is amazing. Mia Yim's very good. The Garganos are great. I've no doubt that their takeover match is going to be fantastic. Less of this.
Just didn't need it. Need it. All you need to do is just say it's Keith Lee versus Johnny Gargano, and I'm in. That's all you need. Why don't need any of this.
Also, then it led into Tegan Nox just randomly appearing during.
I forgot about this.
It's so contrived, man. So yeah, because she was randomly in that segment, it led to her randomly being back here. And it's just like, so are we going to go with Tegan versus Candice? Is this the feud going forward? This is a weird way to get into this.
Yeah.
Like,
it's so convoluted. Because it was
Shotzi versus Raquel.
It was Shotzi versus Raquel. Sorry, I thought it was a tag match. There were so many bloody people involved. So it was Shotzi versus Raquel Gonzalez. Dakota Kai was at ringside. And then at one point, Dakota Kai hijacked Shotzi's tank. And then Tegan Nox came out and pushed Kai out. So I guess that feud's still carrying on, even though it's been finished 3 times already.
Well, not really, because then the match came back after the break. And Tegan was on one side of the ring and Dakota Kai was on the other, so they weren't even like, oh, we can't keep our hands off each other, we gotta fight. They were just like, oh, now I'm out here managing Shotzi Blackheart. I was like,
yeah,
what? And then it's just like, oh, Candice came out because Candice saw you doing the weird pizza angle before, and Candice was like, girl, we need to talk about how you do these backstage promos because you're making us all look bad. And then just before that, Shotzi Blackheart almost killed herself with a springboard coffin drop.
God, yes, she did.
Like, I actually like this match. I thought Shotzi she's cool character. She's got a tank. That's all you need. That's all the hook you need. Her and Raquel did a couple of fun things. Like, I didn't think the match was terrible. And then she just did a springboard Darby Allin to the outside. They didn't catch her, or they caught her too low and she flipped over onto her neck. But like, yeah, that looked real bad.
Mm-hmm. She did not stay flat as she jumped out. It wasn't like a Darby Allin, you just jump out and you stay flat the whole time. She jumped out and started rotating. It's like, oh, that's just a recipe for disaster, that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she nearly landed straight on her neck, which was horrible. And then it got into the convoluted side of the match. Candice LeRae came out, lots of people brawling. Candice LeRae was sent back to the back, but Tegan Nox wasn't. And then there was a distraction from Kai, and then Gonzalez won. And then Tegan Nox cleared the ring of Kai and Gonzalez afterwards to take care of Shotzi, even though there was two of them and one of whatever. It happened. It was a convoluted way to set up a feud. Hopefully it leads into a good feud, though. I'd be well into seeing Tegan Nox versus Candice LeRae. If that's what they want to do, I think it would be a great feud. Yeah. Hopefully it's just better content than this.
Yeah, it's just like NXT normally just builds in a different way. You know what this reminded me of? Didn't even remind me of main roster. This reminded me of WCW.
Oh, like I knew you were going to say it.
Someone being out there just like in a match they had no real part of, and then a random mention in a segment leading to someone else coming out, and they're like a double run in, but neither of them was really a run in. Then it was a distraction finish. Like, too many cooks.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it before as well in the last couple of weeks. Something like, you know, when Swerve was cutting a promo backstage, being like, oh, imagine if I lost every match in this tournament. And then that brought out Tony Nese in the match to attack him later on. We've seen it happen a few times recently. So I'm worried, Adam.
It's NXT is still good. NXT is still good. There were like at least three really good matches on this show.
That's
but,
true.
You know, yes. Just like we, you know, we've been burned in the past by terrible things happening in promotions that we used to like. So we're just a little, we're keeping an eye out. That's all we're doing.
Cautious.
That's all this is.
Yeah, but speaking of good matches, we had Rhea Ripley teaming with Io Shirai to take on Charlotte Flair and a mystery partner who turned out to be Chelsea Green. Mm-hmm. And this, I was surprised at the Chelsea Green pick, not necessarily like disappointed or anything. I was like, oh, that's okay, sure, why not? The match itself, I thought, was really, really good. Some really cool spots in there. I thought pretty much everyone looked really good by the end of this match. And I think the right person won as well. Hot take. You could have said that Chelsea Green was there to take the pin here, but Charlotte rolling up Io Shirai using her feet on the ropes. She's such a heel, man. It's great. It was great work from her. It was great work from Rhea and Io. I thought Chelsea Green looked much better than she has before in this match as well. She did a really cool suicide dive at one point to the outside, which looked really, really good. A really fast pace out the ropes. Interestingly, though, I don't even know if you know this one. After NXT went off the air in a WWE.com exclusive, Chelsea Green just kind of got rid of Robert Stone.
What?
Yeah. Like, what? Why? What?
Why?
Yeah.
Didn't he get you the match with Charlotte, which you won?
Yeah. Which I haven't seen the backstage exclusive, but I've just seen the headlines of, like, you know, Chelsea Green fires Robert Stone and all that stuff. I'm so confused because they just put them together. They didn't explain who Robert Stone was or what the Robert Stone brand was. They didn't explain what he was doing or why he was doing anything. They didn't give him a chance to get over. They didn't let him explain anything. And now they've just kind of gotten rid of him, which is, again, it's a bit main roster. It's a bit WCW, this. I don't like it. I'm very confused by this whole thing.
I did not know that. That's a shame. I thought he's a good heel prop. Exactly. He gave Chelsea Green a bit of an identity, like an entitled, you know, needs a management team sort of thing. Like I was waiting for it to build because it was a new act. But yeah, that surprises me because he's been featured on most weeks as well, like dropping in on an Aaliyah match and seeing where that goes. Like that strikes me as that's weird.
Yeah, very strange. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know whether this is just an angle to maybe get him on someone else or for them to have an angle together between Chelsea Green and Robert Stone, whether, you know, Robert Stone is trying to essentially like win her back and try and, you know, manage her again or something. I don't know. Whether they're just trying to give him a character from here would be great because right now he doesn't really have one. He just comes out and introduces Chelsea Green and that's it. So yeah, hopefully if this gives him something to do, that'd be great. If they're just getting rid of him, that seems a little bit harsh. Then we had Gargano and LeRae backstage. Gargano saying that he wants to take the North American title away from Keith Lee at TakeOver. Yes, please. That would be great. And LeRae saying she wants to face Medium next week. We had Adam Cole versus Velveteen Dream has been made official for TakeOver. This was in a promo with Adam Cole and William Regal. They had some negotiations via Zoom. Cole saying that Undisputed Era should get another tag title shot, which they never spoke about again. And saying that Dream shouldn't be getting in his ring ever. And then the stipulation was made that Dream's going to get one more shot at TakeOver, but if he loses, he'll never be able to challenge for the NXT Championship again while Cole is champion. I still think Cole's going to win that match.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't, that's not convinced me that Dream's going to win this at all.
This is going to be possibly another cinematic match because yes. William Regal said, I will find a location befitting the spotlight that you two clearly deserve. Which is, yeah,
is
I don't know
in
what
Yorkshire
that
now?
he's from Blackpool. It's the North. You leave me alone. But he's, I think he's from Blackpool. He's always been from Blackpool, isn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, so he said that they're going to fight, that it's going to shoot on location, basically, which I assume, like, it wouldn't really make sense for them to shoot, like, in the same warehouse that Ciampa Gargano did, because it's not that kind of feud. Are they going to be in, like, it's not going to be a novelty location, because that's not William Regal's style. He's not going to do it on, like, a Prince soundstage.
I don't know what they're going to do, but a big part of me is think there's going to be some wacky shenanigans from Velveteen Dream. He'll have some, like, he'll click his fingers and there'll be a spotlight, and then he'll click his fingers and then he'll be somewhere else in a different spotlight. It's going to be all wacky and weird. Probably something to do with that. I don't know if I'm going to like it, but it's cool they're doing another cinematic match. I think they, you know, the track record speaks for them. They've had really good cinematic matches so far in WWE. They haven't really put a foot wrong with them so far. So I can't judge him too harshly right now. I think I'll have to wait and see how it goes. But yes, it does seem like Dream Cole is going to be a cinematic match for TakeOver.
I'm here for it. That's fine by
me. Totally. Yeah. Which means then, would you think that would be the main event of the show? Or do you think they'd give that to something else?
Well, just looking at it, I don't know what else would be the main. Like, Gargano Lee is probably going to be the opener.
Maybe.
I don't think the women's triple threat is quite, maybe because of Charlotte that they might close with that, because that has been a featured spot. So if it's not going to be the cinematic match, I would say it's probably going to be the women's triple threat. I don't think it's going to be this. I like
the cross, no.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be that. I'd be surprised. I think we're pretty much going to get Imperium versus Lorcan and Birch. They had a little vignette earlier in the night where they went to the pub.
Can't do that. It's lockdown.
The pub. I missed the pub. Why can't I go to the pub?
Yeah, I'm allowed the pub.
To. I can't. And they went to the pub and got pints of water.
That was the bit that really bugged me. Like, I really liked this video package. I loved hearing, I think this is the first time we've heard Danny Burch talking ever in NXT. And I really like the characters they've got. They're just like, we like fighting, lol, pretty much. But yeah, they went to the pub and they got pints of water. I was like, guys, you had one job. Just give them beer. It's not hard. Like, it just fits the character so well.
The idea that Danny Burch would go to a pub and get a pint of water. How dare you? What kind of fools do you take us for? Look at the man. He looked like he was born with a pint of Guinness in his hand.
Yeah, but I really like the characters they've got, and the video package gave them a lot of character, which I really liked. Ciampa destroyed Leon Ruff in a squash match, and then it's going to be Ciampa Cross at TakeOver, which we knew. And then it was the Riddle Thatcher main event, Fight Pit. Pit fight for pipe fit, that one. Cage fight. I thought this was a really good show. I really liked it. I know it. I feel like we've been quite whingy about it in terms of like the Lee stuff and, you know, the convoluted booking and Robert Stone and all that stuff. But overall, it was a really good show. I'm super excited for TakeOver, and I think this show helped that. I'm super looking forward to a lot of these matches. All of these matches. Let's be real. And I'm still looking forward to next week as well, when we get stuff like him versus LeBray, which, despite the promo this week, I am still very much looking forward to. So, yeah, I can't fault it. It was a great show.
Yeah, we nitpick because very often the good stuff is not necessarily the most interesting to talk about. Like, there's not much you can say like about a good match other than, and then this move happened, and this move happened, and this move happened. So we tend to pick up the stuff that we find kind of confusing, because that's a little bit more of a fertile ground for conversation. But yeah, NXT, it was a good episode of NXT this week. I cannot brew in your house. I think it looks like a great show. Really looking forward to it. And yeah, looking forward to seeing. So what are the big hooks for next week's NXT? You got Candice LeRae versus Mia Yim. Is there anything else?
I don't know if they're doing the finals for the Cruiserweight tournament. I would have thought they'd have saved that for TakeOver, but I don't think they've announced it either way yet. They did announce on the show that there's going to be some sort of basically video packages for the Triple Threat and for Cross Ciampa, I believe, or maybe it was Dream Curl, one of the two, where there's going to have essentially like, what did they call it? Something like Laser Focus, or, you know, some WWE name about it, where it's going to be big, like documentary style surrounding these matches for next week, which should be interesting to watch, and should, you know, WWE are very good at video packages, probably going to make me quite excited for the match. But yeah, I don't think there are any kind of big matchups aside from Yim LeRae. But I mean, they've already built to TakeOver, let's be real. So I'm already there. So they don't really have too much else to do. So as we brilliantly set up in the intro to this podcast, both had a bad night yesterday. Well, you know, Quizzlemania being Quizzlemania, what time did you actually finish yesterday? I stopped watching after the main show. I didn't stick around for the post show.
Didn't stick around for the post show?
I'm sorry. I had to sleep. I had things to do, like write the news and watch NXT.
Oh, I get it. I get it. So it was a good show. We finished before midnight.
It was actually
shorter than last week's even, and that's including with five guests on, because I made sure that with the five guests that we were going to have enough like the right rounds that we could just actually kind of speed through them. Still have the same amount of like kind of stuff happening, but just it's not that's my line. Also, I didn't invite you on, Pete, so you didn't take
That's true. Yeah,
would have added drive a bus through between every question.
Yeah, I did notice at one point that you were just like speeding through the super chats, because I think at one point one of the people super chatted in to ask, what was it, something, the best and worst finishers, and everyone took forever to answer it, and I was like, he's definitely not going to do that again, and like every super chat from then on, you were just like, my answer, next question, asking to anyone else.
I'm the main event. So we finished in good time, and I was like in bed probably about 12:30, which, you know, it's late, but it's not, because like we start work at about 10. So as long as
work at about 10.
I do. I do start work at 10. I'm the main event. So yeah, I was just like, okay, I'll be up at, you know, 10 to start watching NXT. That's fine. I'll get my 8 hours. And then, so like I said, bit of whinging, get that out of the way. We live in a lovely flat, my partner and I. The only problem is the walls are mega thin. No one's fault but the contractors. Basically, it's a big warehouse space which has been converted into lots of flats. Unfortunately, they converted it on the cheap, so the walls are tissue thin, which means we can hear everything that everyone does. Normally, that's not a problem, because we kind of like, we deal with each other, it's fine. Like if we have to go over and say, hey, it's a bit late, do you mind keeping it down? We do that. Anyway, what happened was last night, for the first time ever, our neighbor decided to run the washing machine at 1 a.m. So that kept me awake probably until about 2:30, going on 3. I, for some reason, my body clock woke up at like 9 or like 8:30, and I couldn't really get back to sleep because I was already kind of grumpy and tired. So I had a headache. Also, I'd had a drink at Quizzlemania. So I am in a terrible way. Holly, my partner, woke me up apparently in the middle of the night because I was snoring. So I did get some sleep. And apparently, I think I was having a rage dream because I was so angry about being kept up. Holly prodded me while she was snoring. And I kind of like grumbled or something. And she said, sorry. And I told her, don't ever apologize to me again. And she was like, what? And she said, no, but you were snoring. And I said, that's no effing excuse. And I don't remember saying this at all. But like, I think I was having a lucid dream about being angry at my neighbor. And like Holly just prodded me awake in the night because I was snoring. And apparently I went off on one and I don't remember doing it. Needless to say, I apologize in the morning for my brain. That's why I'm in a rough spot. How about you, Pete?
Oh, well, you know, yesterday was okay. I got to bed a little bit later than I normally do anyway, just because I was watching Quizzlemania. Like to go to bed. Because I start work not at 10, I start work much earlier. I start work at about 7. So I normally am getting up at around 6. 6 to 6 normally, to then start looking for news stories and start helping Ollie write the news in the mornings at about 7, 7. So I normally like to get to bed at around 10. So then I can get a solid 8 hours in for 6 to 6. Said a bit late for Quizlemania. Got to bed at about midnight, half midnight. You know, it's a bit late. But then woke up this morning at about half four, quarter to five, with just incredibly bad back pain. And I have no idea where it came from. I don't know if I was sleeping awkwardly or what it was. But it's not like lower back pain either. It's like upper back pain, but it doesn't feel muscular, but it's also not a trapped nerve. I don't know what it is. It's very, very strange. I just couldn't get back to sleep. I was in a lot of pain. And I messaged Ollie this morning. I was just sitting at my desk, just writing news. I was like, I can't sit here. I need to keep getting up and like stretching and moving and sitting back down for a bit, writing five more minutes of news and then getting up and stretching again. Oh, it was not good this morning. So in order to do this, I've popped some painkillers. So hopefully that will see me through. God, just that was...
Just a bunch of old men, aren't we?
Yeah, I know. We're terrible. God. Me not getting my 8 hours apparently results in excruciating pain. So, you know, what's more wrong than that?
Me not getting my 8 hours results in me being a grumpy asshole.
Is it grumpy, or are you just being like overly nice of like being like, don't apologize for something you shouldn't apologize for?
No, apparently not. Apparently I was a real... I was really angry. In my a lucid dream, weird anger. I've never experienced that before. Mm. That's insane. Like I occasionally talk in my sleep, but I've not had like a full on conversation I don't remember, including a side of my personality that I don't remember.
Yeah, my lady partner, who when I woke up at like 4:30, she was still awake. She'd not been asleep yet. And then as I was waking up, she just turned to me really enthusiastic. She's been like, cup of tea. I was like, what? And I've just woken up. I'm trying to get my bearings, taking in my pain and stuff. And I was like, just stop. Just give me a minute. I need to wake up first. Oh, God. It was a morning. But tell you what, though. Quizmania last night. Luke breaking the triple digit barrier. I was rooting for him so hard. And that a-hole Sean coming back in and getting the trophy back. I was so upset.
I've seen especially because I think it was genuinely like three answers in Pay-Per-Feud that he got off, that Sean got off the back of someone else's guess. Mm-hmm. If Luke had got both of his ones right, I think Luke would have been like 1 or 2 points behind Sean. Mm-hmm. So like if it was the 3 point, if it was the three questions that Sean got off the back of someone else, then actually Luke might have won the whole thing, which is, it's, you hate to see it, but then again, Sean is the biggest heel in the history of Quizlemania. So
of course, yeah. And you know, we can't have a babyface champion for long. It's like WWE. They'll give us something nice. You know, we'll get the Kofi win, but then it just gets stripped away from us. You know, we had the Luke win, big babyface, nice feels. And now it's gone.
But still, like a phenomenal showing by Luke. Oh. In any other week, it would have been a landslide. But unfortunately, absolutely. Yeah, it was not to be this week. But we shall see for next Quizmania whether or not Luke can regain that crown. And it's our big 10th episode.
So. I know, the big 1-0. Or well, is that a quote from The Simpsons when it goes, "It's your big 10-0"? Is that
big 10-0?
I feel like that's a quote. I think. I'm not sure. I think, but it's when, we'll you know, to... when Mo turns the turns Mo's into a restaurant and it's good.
Uncle Mo's family feed time.
That's the one. Yeah. And I think the Flanderses are there and Ned turns to Rod or Todd, one of them, and just goes, "Now get what you like. It's your big 10-0. For some reason, that's just really come to the forefront of my mind.
It's a really obscure,
I know,
really obscure one.
Yeah, that's... Anyway, sorry, my brain is just completely frazzled today. Yeah, I don't have any emails to read out, unfortunately. I've got one, but I'm saving it for SmackDown because it's about Datsun. So it's important to read him out about that.
It's a bit of a mercy, really. I think we could all just do with a nap.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, we should probably get out of here, honestly. And just maybe get some sleep. I think that's the plan.
I'm going to grumble into a cup of tea.
Yeah. Oh, God, a cup of tea would be great right now. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the WrestleTalk Rantcast. We'll be back. We got the AEW review from Ollie and Luke today as well. We're going to have SmackDown as well. And we're back into the cycle. We're building to Takeover in Your House and to Backlash the week after. Yay! Loads of shows. Thanks for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.